This is roll call. Those commissioners present, Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Buffington, Commissioners Eckley, Maddox, Luce, Sundell, Aljanabi, King, House, and that's it. Second order of business, consent agenda, excusal of absences, Hafam is called in. Item 2B, meeting minutes, we have two sets, 310 and 324. Are there any additions or corrections to either of those minutes? Hearing none, they stand approved as presented. Item 3, design review, item A, 1015 North M Street, Petrie. Join us at the microphone here. We'll begin with the staff report.
The house on the property at 1015 North M Street is a contributing structure located in the North Slope Historic District. The current project is to construct a new garage on the rear alley portion of the property. The dimensions are 3.5 feet in width, 26 feet long, and 17 feet in height with a 5-12 roof pitch. The submitted and revised design plan shows the roof pitch at 312. However, the applicant stated that it would be constructed at the recommended guideline of a minimum of 512 per the North Slope Historic District guidelines. And standards for consideration include the North Slope Historic District design guidelines. Goal one is height. Balance the overall height of new construction with that of nearby structures. And all new buildings should step down to be comparable in height to adjacent structures. Goal two, scale. Relate the size and proportion of new buildings to those of the neighborhood. Scale refers to a building's comparative relationship to neighboring structures and its fit within the district. Building facades should be of a scale compatible with surrounding buildings and maintain a comparable setback from the property line to adjacent buildings as permitted by applicable zoning regulations. Scale is also determined by the proportions of the architectural elements within the composition of the individual building facades, window door proportions, floor heights, floor shapes, floor roof shapes and pitches, and other elements of the building exterior should relate to the scale of a neighborhood. Goal five is for roof shapes and materials. Utilize traditional roof shapes, pitches, compatible finished materials on all new structures and detached outbuildings wherever such elements are visible from the street. And I just mentioned that the existing historic buildings in the neighborhood either have gable roofs with the slopes of the roofs between 512 to 12-12 or more, and with the pitch oriented either parallel or to or perpendicular to the public right-of-way, or have hipped roofs with roof slopes somewhat lower. Most roofs also have architectural details such as cross gables, dormers, or widow's walks to break up the large slope planes of the roof. Wide roof overhangs, decorative eaves, or brackets and cornices can be creatively used to enhance the appearance of the roof. Goal six, for exterior materials, use compatible materials that respect the visual appearance of the surrounding buildings. Buildings in the North Slope neighborhood were sided with shingles or with lapped horizontal wood siding of various widths. Subsequently, a few compatible brick or stucco-covered structures were constructed, although many later uses of these two materials do not fit the character of the neighborhood. And in regarding to new structures, they should utilize exterior materials similar to those typically found in the neighborhood. And goal five is for parking and minimize views of parking and garages from the public right-of-way. Most early houses provided space for storing various means of transportation, from horses and carriages to automobiles. I always like to read that. However, these structures were always nearly always entered from the alley rather than from the street. Setting garages and carport structures back from the front of the building reduces their visual importance. Staff analysis, item one, the home on the property is historically significant as a contributing structure in the North Slope. And as a part of the North Slope, it's listed on the Tacoma, Washington, and National Registers of Historic Places. Item two, the Landmarks Preservation Commission has jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to this building, including new construction per TMC 1307-095 prior to those changes being made by virtue of its status as a city landmark. And item 5, the new garage is proposed on the rear elevation of the property as a detached structure, which will be visible from the alley. The structure will be located on the rear of the property, allowing entry from the alley, which meets the North Slope Historic District Guideline number 9 for parking, specifically for minimizing views of parking and garages from the public right-of-way. Most early houses provided space for storing various means of transportation, which I've already read into the record, horses and carriages to automobiles. However, these structures were nearly always entered from the alley rather than from the street. Setting garages and carport structures back from the front of the building reduces their visual importance. And item 4, the proposed new 34.5 by 26 foot garage with a height of 17 feet meets North Slope District Guideline number 1 for height specifically. New buildings should step down to be comparable in height to adjacent structures. And item 5, the garage proposal appears to meet North Slope District Guideline number 2 for scale, relating the size and proportion of new buildings to those of the neighborhood. Scale refers to a building's comparative relationships to neighboring structures and its fit within the district. Item 6, the proposed gable roof with a 5 and 12 roof pitch meets North Slope District Guideline number 5, with the goal of between 5 and 12 to 12 and 12. The proposed building is not the primary structure on the property. It's located on the rear of the property, which reduces its visibility. Item 7, materials proposed for the new garage are beveled lap siding, 2 standard garage doors, 1 vinyl window, side door, and composition roof, which appear to be compatible with traditional materials in the district and meets North Slope Historic District Guideline number 6. Exterior materials specifically for new structures should utilize exterior materials similar to those typically found in the neighborhood. Recommendation, staff recommends adoption of the above as findings and recommends approval to the commission.
Do you have anything that you'd like to add to the staff report?
No, sir. I think that covers it.
Okay. I'll open up to commissioners for questions and comments.
Well, I'll just start because it's with the packet was given, it's very difficult to figure out which of the plans is the one that's being proposed.
The first 3 pages are the revised plan. But I know the description was corrected in the staff report.
Okay. So you have an 16-foot door and an 8-foot door?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this page is not accurate?
Yeah. No, ma'am.
Okay. So do we have elevations of the correct plan?
I don't know. I have one copy with me.
In the
elevations included still show as a 312 pitch. I do have some revised elevations to show the 512 pitch.
Could you possibly pass me around?
There it is.
And it was signed off for by land use and the building department.
Yeah, I have this one. But just the pitches.
Right. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments as the elevations being passed around? No, I figured out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, essentially, just for the commission's information, after this was submitted on the advice of staff, the roof pitch was changed to a 512. Originally, the 312 had been chosen to minimize any sort of view line from the street in front. However, this revision was to, again, to comply with the design guidelines.
If there are no further questions or comments, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission adopt as findings paragraphs 1 through 7 of the analysis section of the staff report and approve the construction of the garage at 1015 North M Street as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion presented before us for approval of the application, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. Motion carries. Do you want to inform this gentleman what happens next?
And I since it was approved, we will send a written decision within the next few days of tonight's decision. And if you need it signed off earlier, we can do that. And with the note that I gave you earlier.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 3B, Tacoma Municipal Complex, signage, Doug Babbitt.
Good afternoon. I'd like to introduce...
Howdy. Go ahead.
I'd like to introduce Mark Sanders from Studio SC.
Hello.
His firm is involved in the design and signage program.
Okay, we'll begin with the staff report.
Okay.
This is a sign package for the main municipal building at 747 Market Street. The building was constructed in 1930 and is an Art Deco style building, originally known as a medical arts building. It was converted to use as the Tacoma Municipal Building and is listed on the City, State, and National Registers of Historic Places. The proposal is to replace existing signage and add new signage on both the interior and the exterior of the complex to improve wayfinding and ADA compliance. The commission was briefed on this back in October of 2009. This is an extensive project that involves a comprehensive re-signing, I guess, of the entire building. And the commission, I think, has been briefed on that. Before the commission tonight are the specific items that are under the commission's jurisdiction, which involves things that are attached to the outside of the building as well as the lobbies 1 and 2. And so there will, I think, in the more global discussion, the commission obviously will have a not concern, but an interest in what happens in the rest of the building, but the strict jurisdiction is the signs that occur in those two areas. Back in October of 2009, the commission made some comments, and I'll just go over them briefly here. There was a discussion of font types, humanist over Futura. However, it was also discussed that both these are appropriate for the year of the building, that the interior signs should be simple and easy to read. There was some discussion and concern with the freestanding sign concept, and I think it's a lobby sign. There's going to be information signs in both lobbies to aid people in finding where they're going. The size and the vertical arrangement of lettering. There was a discussion of turning, I'm not sure what this means, actually turning letters around in a prominent location for the doorway, but that was one item of discussion. Exterior lighting for evening use of the building, which I don't think is going to be discussed much today at all. That was just one early comment. And then, you know, generally speaking, that the concept really did pick up on the character of the building. So just to clarify again, this is exterior of the building, lobbies 1 and 2, and if any, the grand stair, although I don't think there's anything proposed for that. The Secretary of the Interior standards that staff recommends for consideration are number 2, the historic character of a property shall be retained and preserved, and the removal of distinctive features or alteration of feature spaces and spatial relationships that characterize a property will be avoided. And then number 10, new additions or an adjacent or related new construction will be undertaken in such a manner that, if removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environment would be unimpaired. The staff analysis is as follows. The Tacoma Municipal Building building, constructed 1929, 1930, is historically significant and is listed on the City, State, National Registers of Historic Places. The Landmarks Preservation Commission has jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to this building, and I'll note exterior and the lobbies, per Tacoma Municipal Code 1307.095, prior to those changes being made, as it is a city landmark. Finding number three, actually, this is, I apologize, this should have been stricken. This is relating to some pylon signs that are on the sidewalk in the building. They're actually going to be located in the sidewalk area and the planters in front of the building. And I don't think that you actually have drawings in the packet for those, although they were part of the briefing discussion previously. And so staff does believe that, as it notes, that it's consistent with Secretary of the Interior Standard Number 2. However, it does not need to be part of the Landmarks Commission's findings for this application. I apologize for that oversight. And then, so I'm just going to skip ahead. Finding four, the proposed exterior signage on the two main entries provide for over-the-door one-line lettering, which are going to be attached using pins. This meets Secretary of the Interior Standard Number 2 for additions and related or adjacent or related new construction will be undertaken in such a manner that, if removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environment would be unimpaired. The reason for this is because staff has been informed that the substrate, in this case, is concrete. It's been faced to match, but it would not result in any long-term damage that cannot be fixed. The existing, number five, the existing interior signs in the public lobby areas will be replaced with signs that appear to be concise, up-to-date, including an electronic screen with clear message signs and a font, size, color, and materials that represents or reflects the historic year of the building. Mock-ups will be created per the plan set, and the installation will be with methods coordinated by staff. I will say that one of the underwriting principles this entire time is to limit physical invasiveness in the lobbies, which means avoiding holes in the marble, avoiding drilling through terrazzo. We have existing display cases and things like that that, that conduits can be run through and so forth. So so staff believes that it meets Secretary of Interior Standard Number 10 for new additions and adjacent or related new construction will be undertaken in such a manner that, if removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environment will be unimpaired. And staff recommends adoption of the above as findings, with the exception of finding three, and approval of the proposal as presented.
Thank you. It looks like you have a presentation to give. So,
say again, please.
Looks like you have a visual presentation.
Yeah, we do.
So,
Mark, do you want to just
proceed?
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah, we can have a little bit of an overview on the program. The screen's down here a little bit distorted. You can see really what it looks like on the main screen there. As Ruben said, this program was really to address building identification, identity, and wayfinding, as well as to meet ADA standards for room identification. In developing the design for this project, we looked at ways to be to reference the historical character of the building, but not be retro. So we tried to do it in a very modern way, but using typefaces that would be compatible with the historic character of the building, as well as materials to complement it. So what you're looking at here is basically the makeup of the program, including the typeface, the identity for the program. Futura is the primary typeface that we're using throughout the program, and then below that we show different materials and colors that we're using in the signage package. Next one, please. So in this, we show is basically an overview of the sign program in its entirety. This has exterior signage, including the pylon signs that Ruben mentioned. There is this goes into the lobbies as well as upstairs, and provides directional information, variety of different types of room signs, as well as ADA compliance and code and life safety. I think what we wanted to concentrate on here is signs that are interfacing with the historic aspect of the building. We can go to the next slide. What this drawing here shows is the address and building identification at the entries into the Tacoma Municipal Building. So as Ruben also previously said, essentially what we're going to be doing is replacing the existing dimensional characters that are above each entries that that address the building address as well as the name, the Tacoma Municipal Building. This will be done in bronze Futura typeface characters. In applying these new pieces on, what will happen is that you will remove the existing letter forms and numerals and then put in the new pin-mounted dimensional characters. What will be done is that any holes that are left over from removing the existing pieces will be patched in a manner that has been done on other parts of the building so that it matches the adjacent surface. That way, in the end, you'll have a very clean-looking piece that basically meets the identity character for the whole program, and the adjacent surface of the building will appear to be untouched. Moving inside the building, this shows our recommendation for the directory. Their directories will be at the first floor and the second floor of the building. There are essentially two different layouts for the directory because of the space that we are constrained to. We are attaching these directories into the existing directory locations so that we won't affect any of the adjacent marble. And what that required is that we had a slightly different layout for each one. One, and I believe it is the one on the first floor, is a little narrower than the one on the second floor, or vice versa. But essentially what this will be made out of is it's a oil-rubbed bronze cabinet that has it's like a satin-polished bronze plates that have information about building tenants, as well as the city council. There's a kind of an overview map of the location of the building, so you can speak to the TMB North as well as the Tacoma Municipal Building. There will also be a component that is a monitor that will provide information about scheduling and other things that can be easily updated. Yeah, and I think the critical part about this is that it has been designed so that it only attaches through the existing hole where the directories are right now for where the directory listings are right now. So this is one. This is the
Market.
Yeah, this is the second floor, and then the first floor, the St. Helens lobby, is a little bit wider, and that's because of the area that the existing directory occupies. Again, to kind of maximize the flexibility of this, the way that the layout was devised is that for the tenant listing panels, is that it's consistent for both directories. That way we can, in the event that it will have to be updated, which will happen at some point, that you only have to do one layout. You don't have to do two different layouts of that. So it kind of makes it more economical. The other piece is to identify the council chambers entrance. What we devise is basically a piece that will, it's a unit piece that will go over the existing doors to essentially make a more substantial presence for the council chambers. It's using the project typeface, but in a way that is consistent with the current look, and then has the city seal above it. This piece will be essentially applied with adhesive to the existing marble wall, and then it'll rest on top of the ledge of the frame over that, so that we don't have to drill into the marble to attach it. I think that might be it.
I think that's it, isn't it?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments from commissioners?
Can we go to the St. Helens directory sign? On the bottom, there's an extra panel on the right there, labeled as F. I'm just curious as to what information is going to be put on there, if you can tell us that.
I don't recall specifically what this was. What we tried to do is adapt the information that was in the existing directories, and through working with the committee, determine what was appropriate to.
Looks like emergency numbers and building maintenance.
Services by owner. This it says services in other locations. So has the Broadway Center for Performing Arts in that address, the fleet operations, library main branch. I think
so,
what this is
so
doing.
Those are city offices located outside the building.
Right, and it was again. It was trying to pick up information from the existing directories, and I think there's a difference between what is in the St. Helens location as to what's on the Market Street location. But in devising this, we tried to devise a system of panels so that we could make it modular to accommodate that different information.
So essentially, the Market Street entry is the same minus this and this, it seems like, in terms of dimensions.
Right, slightly narrower.
Questions or comments?
I think from last time I had a remark regarding, can you go back to the interior sign where it says, yeah, here. These, I had some objection about these lettering here. I mean, human eye is structured to read horizontal. And the letter, when they are in horizontal form, you can read it easier. So my remark was, if we put the same thing, Market Street lobby, but it says Market, M-A-R, it's easier to read. And then if you look at it, anyone will tell he has to look like this and read it.
Yeah. Actually, I think what the studies that have been done show that this is how you write it if it was a book spine, you know, in a library. Something like, you know, on a book. And what the human eye actually reads is kind of the collection of characters together to form the word. So in our experience, we find that it's much more difficult to, it may be easier to read the individual characters, but to read the entire word, it's easier to collect them and put it on their side to make sense of the entire word.
I would like for you to do both, you know, on paper, and look at them and see whichever one easier to read, and then, you know, you decide.
Sure, we can do
that. I mean, that's easier to do an experiment.
Absolutely.
I have a question about mounting the exterior signs, and it sounds like you'll obviously be removing the existing signs, patching the holes, drilling some new holes, and then filling them with the pins. Will you be able to reuse any of the holes, or is this
possibly? It really depends on the since we're using a slightly different typeface, that we may be able to use some holes. I think the objective would be to in the end that it looks like the building has not been touched. That's the basic objective. If we can reuse holes, I think that we will definitely try to do that. What I want to avoid is by reusing holes, making holes bigger or having it look awkward or something like that. I think from what we understand and working with the committee and especially maintaining the building is that they have done this before where they've patched the exterior of the building to figure out the right mix of I believe it's cement so that it looks identical in the finished product to the adjacent original stone.
So is the Is it sandstone that you're drilling into, or concrete? Is it part of the original structure of the building, or is it?
But it's. I believe the original structure is concrete. It's made to look like sandstone.
Thank you.
You know, clarification. I think there's a mix of a couple different materials in the building. We have cast stone. I forget what the trade name of it was, but it's similar to other buildings that were built during the period. And then there's other elements of finished, I think, concrete and so forth on the structure. And the other thing I just wanted to recollect for the commission is that the over entrance signs have been through a couple of different iterations and have been changed to this pin letter approach based on the feedback that was received. I think there was a hanging one, and then they kind of floated out and above that was a little more visually impactful. So this is felt to be the most design appropriate approach.
I was thinking I like the visually aesthetically. I like the design. I'm just thinking about it was that restaurant further up the street that we asked them to remove the exterior lighting that had been drilled into the building, and some of the concerns we've raised about using grout lines and so forth, and then the city drilling new holes into the building. I'm just concerned about consistency there. I like the sign. I don't personally think I have a problem with that that work, but I'm kind of thinking about some of our other actions, asking people to either alter signs, remove signs, not attach signs.
We can patch it so you won't even see the patch.
One thing also just to point out too is that with the Walker Building, which was the restaurant that had the sign, that installed the lighting. The commission actually did allow the blade sign on the corner of the building to remain because the damage had been done with the installation of it, and with the conduits and the lights. It was felt that not only was it physically invasive, but it also was visually invasive with exposed conduits running out the outside of the building, and so those were requested to be removed. The material of that building is sandstone. It was actually quarried sandstone, so it's a much different patch, I guess, to repair than a man-made material which clads this building.
So it's much more vulnerable. Then that's my only concern. Sounds like that's not a problem.
I have a question. This is beyond our jurisdiction. I'm just curious about it. The city budget. These are bronze panels, and they're going to be changed regularly. Isn't that pretty expensive?
Well, they will be reused.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, absolutely. The idea was that we would produce an alternate set of these, so when you do need to change listings, you can take that alternate set. These are basically screen printed on this this bronze material.
Okay.
Swap those out with the new information, and then you have the other set to redo that.
Okay.
You wouldn't have to refabricate the panels.
That's what I was worried
about. we're looking at ways to be very
okay.
Economical.
Thank you. I feel better about that.
Go ahead, Commissioner King.
I guess this is addressed to you.
Okay.
Over the years that I've been on the commission, there have been numerous comments from both commissioners and people making presentations about the disreputable condition of the exterior of the municipal building and the need for at least a thorough cleaning.
Fred, that's going to be done very soon. There's an RFP going out within the month for the exterior refurbishment of the building.
And is there any intention of paint colors as...
Well, the only pink color, I think, Fred, would be on the window frames.
All right.
we haven't crossed that bridge yet. But they're going to number one, they're going to clean it, probably re-tuck point it, and seal it. And then the roofs have to be redone also on the flashings, and that's going to be done. But the building is extremely dirty. It hasn't been cleaned in 20 years. It hasn't been sealed in 20 years, and there's spalling going on that you've take a good peek at it, and so that's going to correct most of that.
Thank you.
So you can sleep better tonight.
Yes.
Any other comments? If there are none, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission accept as findings paragraphs 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the analysis section of the staff report and approve the proposal to install signage at 747 Market Street as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner King. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor of approval of the application before us, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is chair's comments. I have none. Item 5 is staff comments.
I'll defer those till later.
Item 6 is board briefing. Item 6A is urban forest element heritage tree program. Rainey Pierce. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Good evening, commissioners and chair. I have to sit a lot closer.
So, is this just a verbal out there? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't bring you copies of the element because I like saving paper. So,
okay, right.
But I can show you. Do I have a controller or is it just you who has control?
You have a controller and
it. Sweet.
We all have control.
I like control. Yeah, I didn't say that. So what I'm doing is showing you where you can find a copy of the most current draft. So if you do want to find it, an easy way of getting there is to the Urban Forestry website. If you haven't already been, this is the easy, short way there instead of the confusing, you know, equals 9219 question mark ASPX, which is very common for the city's website. So when you get to the main page, if you click on News and Events, scroll down, and there's this whole section on the urban forest policy. There's a little feedback note. Sorry, it's a little bit farther down here. Here's a list of all the meetings that have been more recent. Look, you guys are on here. I think you are. Oh, I didn't include you. Sorry. But this is the most current draft right here. This is the same draft. So I actually have good news to report to you. Last week, the Planning Commission did vote 4-1 to recommend the urban forest element to the City Council. With their letter of recommendation, which can be found on the Planning Commission's website. So, and that, conveniently enough, is linked to right here. It's lumped in with the other 2010 comprehensive plan amendments. For those of you, do we need a refresher course on what the urban forest element is? I'm sorry, I just kind of jumped into this, assuming that you guys remembered. And
some of us do. I think we have some.
Okay, I'll do a little refresher. So
okay.
The urban forest element is a proposed brand new element to be added to our comprehensive plan as a part of our annual comprehensive plan amendment process, which lasts for a year. Applications are due in June, and adoption is hopefully this June. It includes review by the Planning Commission, and then the Planning Commission kicks it around for a while. There's a public hearing with the Planning Commission, lots of comments. The draft has been changed a lot during that process, and then they make a recommendation with a letter to send it on to City Council, and then City Council then has their own public hearing, makes some more changes, maybe, maybe not, but probably, and then hopefully adopts it sometime in June. So that next... as you can see, May 18th, next week, there's a special Environment and Public Works Committee meeting just to talk about the Urban Forestry Element and Mobility Master Plan. That committee wants to really delve into it before it comes to the study session, which is not on here, but that's May 25th as well. The study session is May 25th, as well as the public hearing is tentatively scheduled for May 25th. So these dates may not mean a lot to you, but that's a very good time to get in your written comments or actually come speak to the City Council if you feel strongly about either the entire element or any parts of the element, which include the Heritage Tree Program. which I know this commission's very interested in, and then all the other lovely parts that go with it. And that part did stay in. There was some talk about it being potentially removed or only applying to the right-of-way, but I think right now it will apply to private property as well as right-of-way, unless something changes at the city council level. So let's hope that it doesn't. Or at least I think that's let's hope that it doesn't. If the commission feels strongly one way or the other, I would like to encourage that the commission let their opinions be known to the city council on that matter. And that's my update.
Very good.
Great.
Any questions from commissioners?
Sorry, it's not really long and intriguing, but...
No, it's fine. Some of us have been following it all along. Some haven't.
Yeah, I'd just be curious, because I didn't hear about the possible removal of the heritage tree, what was the reasoning? What were people objecting to? Just the use of obstruction to people having use of their own property or something like that?
Well, I wish the answer was simple, but okay. Things never are, as you guys are very familiar with. Some of the concerns that were raised about delving into private property were, of course, private property rights, but also the impact on neighboring private property rights, because trees aren't limited to the property that the trunk is mm-hmm. originating on, that you have more impact on your neighbors, whereas, say, a house doesn't necessarily reach over to the other property. So there's some issues that need to be resolved once we get into the actual writing of the ordinances, which is not at this stage, but a lot of people were wanting to jump past this stage to the ordinance development, and we're raising all these concerns about how the details of the program will look, who's going to determine what a heritage tree is, is it voluntary, will there be a covenant, how hard will it be to remove a tree, and so on and so forth, or, you know, can we remove it at all? You know, so those, I think I covered almost all the concerns that were raised.
And this is at this point, this is a policy document, right? The regulatory text changes are going to come.
Phase two. So this is, right. If you look at, and I might have brought, and actually this lies, it says click here for a one-page flyer, and it's really two. Well, it's one page front and back, but. Back. So this is phase one of what we're calling the Urban Forestry Program Development. You see the comprehensive plan amendment here. The next phase will be regulation updates. And this is just a few of the regulations that will be updated. We've actually discovered some more along the way that will be impacted. For those of you who don't know, 918, 919 are the tree trimming and removal from the right-of-way and tree planting from the right-of-way. 920 is view obstruction. 1306, as I'm sure you may be familiar with, is landscaping in the land use code. And 1311 is critical areas preservation ordinance. And then phase three would be the urban forestry manual and other public education outreach. And some of these may actually start at the same time. Some of them may occur a little bit before. This is just my best estimate of when they would occur. And then the Urban Forest Management Plan, which would be much more detailed about how to actually accomplish the tasks outlined in the policy. Does that help?
Yeah.
Help give you the bigger picture? And then there's a nice little timeline down here for those of us who are a little more linear or visual.
Any other comments or questions from commissioners?
Two questions. How much say do we have as commission on this issue, since the planning commission approved?
This, I think we're just advisory in this instance.
I would say that the commission is an interested, you know, I don't want to say party because that's official, but as interested as you want to be, but advisory at this point. This is a recommendation going to city council, so if there's any guidance or thoughts you want to share with city council on the proposed changes, then that would be how you would affect this process. But the Landmarks Commission doesn't have standing in any sort of, I guess, jurisdictional sense on this. When the Heritage Tree Program discussion comes back up as a regulatory item, the commission may be interested in how that proceeds as well, and work with Ramey and the Forestry Commission, or if you have one. But
it'll be a citizen advisory board. A lot of folks didn't want us to use the word commission because they felt like we already had enough commissions. So it'll be the board. One other thing, when the ordinances are being developed, there will be a stakeholder committee put together. So if there is a member or a couple members from the Landmarks Preservation Commission who do want to participate, please feel free to let me know, and I'll definitely come back and keep you guys in mind when we do develop that committee, but that could be about 6 months out from now. So, but we are looking at hitting the ground running when it comes to updating some of those regulations once assuming the policy is adopted.
When were those regulations passed?
Originally 1927. 918 and 919 have not been updated since 1960. 920 has not been updated and was originally passed in 1990. And 1306 gets updated every year, but on very small technicalities, not on actual, what would be the word, effectiveness. And 1311, I don't know as well, but I know it's been about 15 or 16 years. Well, maybe not that long. It's been a while since 1311 has been updated, and there are many, many problems with that one. If anything, that regulation may take a little bit longer to update because there are many problems with it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. May 25th, don't forget.
All right. That's the end of board briefings. Item 7, do we want to circle back for staff comments?
Sure. I'm going to be really brief. First of all, the commission may consider nominating the old forestry policies as landmarks because of the oldest sections of city code, I swear, that have not ever been touched. So if you think about it this way, a lot of the trees that were existing in the right-of-way when that code was passed are now historic trees. So the only thing I just wanted to bring up is the naming policy. We've just had this on a couple of agendas. The revisions that the Neighborhoods and Housing Committee suggested have attempted to be incorporated into this. I haven't heard any sort of objections or concerns from the commission, so I'm just raising the issue again. I'm going to Neighborhoods and Housing Committee to talk about the changes to the draft next Monday. And so just wanted to let the commission know and sort of last chance on any sort of suggestions or input on that before I go back to council. Now, of course, there's probably going to be things that happen after this again, but for the most part, I just wanted to clear that with the commission. And I don't need a motion or anything like that, but I've got copies here if people want to see it. I know it's the same thing that was out in April, so.
Right. All right, we're at the good of the order time. Any announcements or anything anyone wants to share with the commission?
Would it be within our, not right, it's not the right word, but do we want to write a letter in support of the Heritage Tree Program element?
We could do that. Do you want to make that a motion?
I move that we write a letter to support the Heritage Tree Program.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor of writing a letter in support of the urban tree policy, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion passes.
We'll have some proposed language in the next couple of days, Tony and I, or early next week. One thing just to clarify, just so we get the tone of it right, emphasizing the heritage tree component of the overall plan but supporting both, or that's a nuanced question, I guess. Just generally, like, in support of the recommendation of the Planning Commission, or specifically calling out the Heritage Tree Program.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. If there are no other comments, we are adjourned, and I will see you all in, what, 3 weeks?
Yes.